Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The book of Isaiah starts with a declaration that Isaiah is the source of the vision that's been written down. And he starts immediately into saying just how evil the Israelites have become, just what an evil nation they were. And then we get to chapter 2, and it's like starting again, because you get that introduction to say this was written by Isaiah. And not only that, but the tone of the five verses we had read is completely different. And then we get to verse 6. He starts again to say how evil the people of God had become. So it's a very different tone inserted at that point. Now, it's interesting to note that those five verses are identical to Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. So there's an argument as to which came first. Who was quoting what? Some theologians think that this bit has a second heading to specifically say that this was from Isaiah, whereas the rest was perhaps a bit more general. Now, it's a very interesting theological argument, but what is actually relevant is what it actually says. So let's look at that a little bit more closely. It starts by saying, in the last days. This phrase occurs a lot of times in the Old Testament, but here it just acts as an introduction to verses 2, 3, and 4. And it declares that the temple of the Lord will be the chief among all the mountains, and none will be greater. And verse 3 says, many people will come and say, let us go up to the house of the Lord. So who are these people? The implication, it's not just the Israelites, but many people. And so there's a suggestion there, a hint, that that includes everyone, Jews and Gentiles. And then verse 3 goes on to say, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us walk in his paths. This describes a relationship with God which is dynamic. It's not static. It requires movement. It's an active relationship. And it's not just lifelong. It's an eternal relationship. So that relationship which demands action, people to go up to the house of the Lord. So why was it good to go to the house of the Lord? Two reasons given. First one is because he will teach. In our relationship with God, we will learn his ways. And to looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, when Jesus was talking to Philip, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Through Jesus, we can see the way. We will learn the way of the Lord. And then the other thing that we learn is that he will judge. Now, generally, we have a fear of being judged. Yet, we're encouraged to put ourselves into a relationship that involves judgment. But when you read it, the text actually says nothing about condemnation, but of settling disputes. And it suggests that God brings his peace into troubled situations in order that his people might live in peace and harmony with not just God, but with each other. As it said, he will settle disputes for many people. So God comes as a judge. And yes, we are judged for our sins, but his judgment also helps to bring peace to us. And so to the reaction of the people he is teaching. As people go up to the house of the Lord, as they learn his ways and walk in his path, what happens? It goes on to say, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Now, as I've said, that passage is quoted exactly the same in Micah chapter 4. But it's also very similar to another passage, which is Isaiah chapter 11, which is, again, a familiar passage. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Then it goes on, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child would lead them. Again, a very familiar passage. The peace of God will descend on God's people if they walk in his ways. There will no longer be wars, and opposing sides will lie down together, sit together. So we're encouraged to walk in the light of God. That final verse says, come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now today, as I've noted, is Advent Sunday, or the first Sunday of Advent, a time for remembering, a time for looking forward to when Christ comes again. It's not just one day, but a whole period of time to reflect. And we look forward not just to celebrating the birth of Christ, but in eager anticipation of his coming again. In the words of the Creed, we'll be shortly declaring, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Advent, therefore, is a time to prepare ourselves for that second coming, a time to renew our relationship with our God in anticipation of that return, by going up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that we too may learn his ways and walk in his paths. May we be prepared for that second coming. May we, to quote a parable of Jesus, have our lamps filled with oil and wicks trimmed, ready for the bridegroom's arrival. Amen.